Hello and welcome in to Stackin' Dubs. I am your host, Chris Chin. Welcome on in, guys, where the Warriors are coming off of a 30-point victory against the Pacers, who are extremely shorthanded, but nevertheless had never lost at Chase Center. So finally, nice for the Warriors to I'm not going to say squeak out a win because they won by 30 points against the Pacers. But for 2.5 quarters, the Warriors were squeaking by, hanging their hats on good defense. And again, a very shorthanded, under-talented Pacers team. But good defense. Seems like the team got Draymond's wake-up call from over the weekend about the defense needing to be better. And it was. That being said, offense seemed to be pretty stuck in the mud. And they generated pretty decent shots the first couple of quarters. Shots just really weren't falling. You can attribute that to just not a ton of great shot makers. It's particularly not consistently good shot makers, poor finishing around the rim, not really getting to the line a ton. And, you know, in a Jimmy Butler led offense without Steph, you know, you're relying on getting to the line. You're relying on him creating shots for role players who are going to knock those down. And when that's not happening, you see the problems that this offense has, particularly in the past few games. And it's just, it's not going to be enough to beat teams in the playoffs like we saw last year against the Wolves, particularly on a night where your second and third engines on offense being Kuminga, Pajemski, didn't really have it going, particularly Kuminga. We'll talk a little bit more on the back half about what didn't go great for the Warriors, but for now, let's just focus on the positives. Again, a 30-point win with a good defensive showing. I thought our, as a UCLA guy, I hate to admit it, but the Florida Gators on this team, Al Horford, I know what they call him, the OG Gator on the team, who beat UCLA twice in the Final Four when I was a student there, getting chomped at, being called Gator bait the entire time. But I have grown to love Al Horford. Had his best game of the year, best game as a Warrior, both sides, you know, shot the ball well, 4 of 6 from three. Finally started seeing it go down. You thought that first miss where it was just lined up and hit back rim was, oh man, like that was a great play created by Jimmy Butler. Jimmy focused on him all night. And when you saw that first one hit the heel of the rim, you thought the shooting woes would continue. But no, I think the Warriors in particular drew up plays. And Jimmy Butler in particular made a concentrated effort to get Horford going. And it worked. Horford got going again, 4 threes, best offensive showing, at least from a scoring and shooting standpoint. And then defensively, he's been solid, and you know, it paid off with just 3 blocks and very good rim deterrence last night. And I thought he was just very good all the way around. And despite missing the previous game against the Nuggets with, I think it's a toe issue, looked pretty spry, looked like he was moving well, you know, elevating off the floor. And yeah, very, very good on both sides of the floor last night. So our old OG Gator, very good game for him. And then you got baby Gator, Will Richard, who I think we can all agree needs more minutes. You know, after that 30-point outburst against the Kings, and he's been nothing but consistent. Ironically, as a rookie, one of the most consistent performers on the Warriors this whole season. And it's because the things he does are things that there's not as much variability in terms of, you know, he cuts at the right times. He's a great off-ball player, great off-ball cutter. You know, when you can do that, you're going to find yourself, you know, with easy buckets, easy layups, providing spacing for others on the court, and getting to the free throw line. And those are just constants. You know, those are things that are going to get him, you know, 6, 8, 10 points a game just off of off-ball cutting. In addition, obviously, the three-point shooting has been great. He's over 40% on the year. I don't expect that to continue being the trend, but it's an encouraging sign, especially if he can just kind of maintain a high 30% three-point shooting percentage and just, you know, take maybe 3 of them a game and knock down at least 1 or 2. A very good offensive look, and it's something that you would think would be very sustainable. The rebounding is great. The just IQ, the presence, just knowing where to be at the right times is just uncanny. And even though it's been 10 games, 11 games, you know, the sample size, I'm comfortable with it. You know, I've seen enough from him in his minutes to think that those are going to be constants. Those are going to be things that you can hang your hat on for him to continue going forward. And then on the defensive side of the ball, kind of the same thing. You know, sure, he's, you can say undersized at 6'3", but he's got like a 6'10 wingspan, I was reading the plus 7-inch wingspan on your height. You know, that's similar to Draymond Green, who has a 7-foot wingspan at 6'6". Moses Moody, who I think is like a plus 8 in terms of wingspan to his 6'5" height. Those are the makings of a great defensive player, a disruptive player, someone that can get in passing lanes, can be in help defense, can go up in defensive rebound and high point the ball. And then on top of that, he just has great anticipation. You saw that just kind of like in the fourth quarter, just kind of in between, just turns his back and then gets right back in the passing lane, gets the deflection, steal out to himself, and finishes with a layup slash little dunk at the other end. Just those little plays and just the effort. I don't want to compare him to Russell Westbrook, but the things that Westbrook always did well was just nonstop effort, just relentless, just being a disruptor on both sides and just kind of really just knowing where to be at the at certain times. Say what you want about Westbrook's game, but those are things that he's always done at an elite level. And I think Will Richard has a lot of those traits, winning traits. I'm not talking about Westbrook anymore, but winning traits out of Will Richard that I think, again, we would all have to agree he needs to be seeing at least 20 minutes per night, maybe even more. You could potentially play with him being in that starting lineup as your two guard if you want to get away from this big lineup. I don't know exactly what that means for Kuminga because Kuminga's been slumping a bit, and I'm not really going to go down that hill too much at this moment. But you could think about starting Will Richard. You should at least think about putting him in before there's 3 minutes into the second quarter. He needs to be in to finish that first quarter, at least at minimum, as your seventh or eighth guy off the or seventh or eighth guy, second or third off the bench. I understand we put Buddy Hield in as that sixth man, and that's just kind of the general rotation. And sure, I guess it works, but Buddy's been playing pretty poorly. I would like to see his minutes decreased in general, and Will Richards needs again to be up in 20, maybe in 25 minutes per game, especially if he's knocking down his shots and impacting the game like he did. And you saw it last night, every run, especially towards the end of the quarters that the Warriors made, Will Richard was on the floor. And I guess I'll leave it there. Will Richard has just been the steal of the draft. Looks to be for the second year a steal in the second round. Shout out tip of the hat QP Quinton Post, who's been great and looks to be improving, especially defensively. And you're starting to see more consistency out of that. And we already know he could shoot the lights out as a stretch center. So between those two, you're really looking at steals in that second round. And we can even go back a year further and talk about TJD and he's been kind of on and off. But Warriors have done a great job in the second round, is my point. And they might have found their best gem yet in Will Richard. Moses Moody. You could also think about potentially shaking up the starting lineup and throwing him in there now that he's healthy. And took him a little bit to get going last night, but ended up making the play of the night towards the end of that third quarter with a 4-point play to put the Warriors up 10. Just a few minutes before that, the Warriors were tied at like 65-65 and then finished the game on, I think it was like a 49-18 run from there on out, including that 10-0 run to end the third. And like we talked about, it's a make or miss league, and sometimes you just need someone to knock down some shots. And I would say at this point, Moses Moody is our second best 3-point shooter outside of Steph, obviously, especially once he has his feet set. He's just been knocking them down. It's been around like 50% or even over 50% in this last little stint. Seems like when he's open, when those feet are set, when he's not going back to that old little dip he had in his motion. I caught him one time that when he missed short on an open three, almost had too long to think about it last night. And you saw that old mechanical little dip come in where he kind of drops it to that left hip. Caught him that one time, missed it, but righted the ship and knocked down the next two, I believe, after that. So, the old habits die hard, but my point is that Moody is a looking like an evolved shooter, especially with a mechanical change. And if that continues and he keeps on doing what we already know he can do on the defensive side of the ball, gotta continue finding him minutes because he's been a constant in Warriors wins and just getting an offense out of the mud by being a shot maker and a play finisher. So Moody really just kind of came through when the Warriors needed it most towards the end of that third quarter. So those are the things I liked most in addition to good defense last night. Looking kind of further ahead to the not so great and just to kind of the issues the Warriors have. Take it with a grain of salt. We all know when Steph Curry's not playing, this Warriors team, it's a different team. They're not going to go anywhere if Steph's not playing. We can all accept that. But the last few games is just a reminder of, one of the glaring needs when Steph's, off the court is just another kind of dynamic guard that can create his own shot, go get buckets, play make for others. It's the one area that the Warriors didn't really address. And in choosing to hold on to Kuminga and use his athleticism on the wing and let him develop, you didn't address your backup guard or sixth man type player, that being someone like stylistically like a Kobe White, like a Jordan Poole, someone like that that can help you out when Jimmy Butler is asked to do so much when Steph's off the court and you just need someone else to create. Is that guy Pajemski? Is that guy Kuminga? You see flashes of it, but you don't see enough consistency of it. And that's my point, is that as great as Kuminga's been, and he's been a revelation for the first seven games of this season, it's tailed off for whatever reason lately. The scoring qu hasn't quite been there. The shot hasn't quite been there as much as it was early. The playmaking, the assists are down from what it was earlier. I think he's going to kind of regress back to the middle a little bit and be definitely an improved player. Is it enough to get the Warriors over the hump and make a deep playoff run as a consistent third playmaker, third scorer? I don't know. Is Pajemski the guy that can fill in for that when Kuminga doesn't have it? Can Pajemski step up to be that third playmaker scorer? Not consistently enough is what we're kind of learning. And there are games when neither of them has it. Kind of like last night, Pajemski was okay. Kuminga was not good at all. Rebounded well, but offensively, you saw why they were plus 20 in his minutes off the floor. And it's not to poop on Kuminga here, but it's just to say that when they don't have it going, where do you turn to for baskets? You can't always be playing against a shorthanded Pacers team in a game like last night. The Warriors are not being a play beating a playoff caliber team with that effort from their second and third offensive engines. Is it a problem that's gonna really derail the season like last year? I don't know. Maybe Steph just stays healthy and then Jimmy can find the buckets when Steph's off the court. But that is just an area where you could potentially see the Warriors need to address at the trade deadline, potentially. I guess we'll just leave it there. I think I'm not gonna get into I was as the Warriors are I'll get into it. I'll touch on it briefly because as the Warriors were struggling to get any offense going the first 2.5 quarters, I was going through this pods Kuminga just kind of rabbit hole. And, is the move, if things don't get better, is the move to package them together for a Derek White type player, a Trey Murphy type player, with Will Richards' ascent and Melton coming back? Is pods now a little bit more expendable because you have so much depth at that kind of two guard spot to where you can go get a all-star caliber player? I don't know. It creates other holes, particularly at your wing spot. So that was just an idea I was kind of going through to upgrade that third star player, but I guess we're going in circles from where we were in the offseason. So I won't go down that rabbit hole, but I guess my point is that pods, I'm starting to see enough. And I do like pods. I think he's a glorified role player. I don't know if his ceiling is high enough to be a bona fide, consistent number three option. Someone like a not quite Austin Reeves, but something getting kind of close to that. Now, can he be someone that can lead the offense at times a little bit more consistently than he does? I don't know. It's not looking like it. And Kuminga, again, I don't know. But again, the ebbs and flows and the consistency is something that we're going to have to figure out as time goes. All right, I'll leave it there. Big game tomorrow night against the Thunder on the road. Steph should be back. That's the measuring stick for where the Warriors really are at this point in the season. We're going to get after it on Wednesday. We'll talk about that game, good, bad, or ugly. Let's just hope for a good game and let's just see what we got. All right, have a good one. Have a good week, guys. I will talk to you guys next time. Until then, peace, love, and stacking dubs.